Well, with playing that familiar theme song, it is time to go out to the other coast of the United States to go see Michael Snyder or to talk to Michael Snyder. You don't see him. We talk to him. And find out what's happening in movies this week. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Alex, and hello, everybody on GabNet. It is movie time. We've got some new films to discuss. Let's kick things off with Obsession, which I think, and there have been quite a few of them because it's a mini industry, the best horror movie of the year so far. Obsession leans into youthful romantic angst, modern male insecurity, and wish fulfillment as it generates shocking and creatively gory moments with well-timed jump scares. And there's more than a little discomforting humor that resulted in some yelps of nervous laughter at the screening I attended. I mean, whooping was heard. And it's a simple story, cleverly told. Four college-age friends work at a music store, two guys and two girls. One of the guys, a guy named Bear, has a crush on one of the girls, Nikki, but he fears he's in the friend zone. So while he's at a local kind of new agey curios shop, he decides on a whim to buy and try the One Wish Willow, which is a purportedly mystical stick that will grant one person one wish when they break the stick. So he wishes that Nikki would fall totally in love with him. Now, if you know the story of the monkey's paw, you have more than a hint about what can happen when a wish is granted. And if you're unfamiliar with the monkey's paw, I will just repeat the old adage, be careful what you wish for, you might get it. So the crucial lead actors of Obsession are just right in their roles. Michael Johnston, who plays the lovelorn bear, is ideally schlubby, put upon, and somewhat warped by what happens after he wishes upon the magical willow. But it's Indy Navarette as the adorable object of his affection, Nikki, who owns the movie. She was quite good and very appealing as Lana Lang's daughter on the recent and well-made Superman and Lois TV show, but this is a whole nother level. Anyway, kudos to Curry Barker, first-time director, screenwriter, and film editor. He nailed it. Incidentally, Andy Richter, Conan's sidekick, a guy from movies such as Elf and Scary Movie, and actually the star of his own situation comedy, Andy Richter Controls the Universe, has a small role as the manager of the music store where the four friends work. I really thought this was well done. Obsession is in theaters right now, and if you like horror, I think you're going to love Obsession. Okay, In the Gray was a major disappointment. This intended thriller was written and directed by Guy Ritchie, who has made a couple clinkers, but has come through with some damn fine films, including The Covenant, Snatch, the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr. They've been good films. And this movie also stars Henry Cavill and Jake Gyllenhaal. And you've got Isaac Gonzalez and Rosamund Pike on board. There are no slouches there. Gonzalez plays a cutthroat, highly efficient lawyer who is hired by Pike's financial firm to recover $1 billion stolen from the company by a tyrannical criminal who oversees his own private island community. The lawyer has a band of capable mercenaries who serve as her muscle, and they're led by the characters played by Cavill and Gyllenhaal. They're tasked with recovering the loot, and action ensues. Despite the talent involved, there was no formal critic screening for this, which is really telling. When you've got this much firepower and you don't invite the critics to catch the film, the movie's in question. It's shot in Spain and Saudi Arabia. It looks like it was pricey to make, and the credits reveal that there was considerable Saudi money invested in the film, but there is no depth to the characters. Motivations other than greed and survival are vague, and though there's a lot of shooting and explosions, it's a caper movie that's more wearying than exciting, and I love a caper movie. The action sequences pile up, but the script is weak. I would suggest
Instead of watching In the Gray, you revisit The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was Ritchie's previous and undervalued team-up with Cavill in the lead role. It is way sharper, more stylish, and more fun than In the Gray. Or watch The Gentleman on Netflix, the movie TV show derived from his movie The Gentleman, which was another good Ritchie film. In the Gray left me shrugging. It is in theaters. And we will move on to a film that I thought was really a much better caper film, Lifehack. Now, Lifehack is a new entry in the screen life genre of movies that are shot to look like they're playing out on a laptop or a desktop computer. There was one called Searching, one called Missing, Unfriended. They're kind of cool if they're done well. And Lifehack is very, very good. It's pretty simple, too. Four teenage hackers who are in different parts of the world are kind of friends, and they team up to rip off the billion-dollar Bitcoin wallet of an unscrupulous early adopter tech bro with a bulky teenage daughter who hates him. And we see all of this play out. We see how they kind of decide to do it. We see the procedure, and we see the aftermath, and it just kicked butt. So Kyle and his three friends, would normally, do their games together and kind of screw with scammers online. But this is a much heavier and more treacherous road to pursue. I really enjoyed the hell out of this. It's directed by Ronan Corrigan, and the kids are played by Georgie Farmer, Yasmin Finney, who plays Donna Noble's daughter in the recent David Tennant Doctor Who episodes. You also get Roman Hayek Green and James Schultz. They're shockingly good, and this is a shockingly good film because, again, it's all done as if you're watching someone else's computer screen. And Lifehack was, of these three films, I kind of think that Obsession was probably the best of the three, but this was really damn good. It's in select theaters. Moving on, I got to mention and discuss what I think is one of my favorite movies of the year to date, period. The Sheep Detectives, which is very warm and very funny and is very humane, despite being filled with computer animated sheep. We talk about this sometimes, the soullessness of movies that are top loaded with computer animation. Well, in this case, this movie is perfect for families. It's got endearing and thoughtful messages, and it stars Hugh Jackman. Because there are, lots of live actors in this, as well as these CGI sheep. So Jackman is a kind-hearted shepherd whose residential trailer and flock are in a meadow on the outskirts of one of those quaint English villages that seem to retain their quaintness even in modern times. And by the way, it's called The Sheep Detectives because it's a murder mystery that the sheep in the story try to solve. The shepherd reads detective novels to the sheep at bedtime, and they pick up a few tricks on the way in their attempt to root out the killer from a group of human suspects. You got a great live-action cast here. You've got, obviously, Jackman. You've got Emma Thompson playing his personal lawyer, Molly Gordon playing that character's daughter, Hong Chow as a local innkeeper, Tozin Cole as a rival shepherd, Nicholas Brown and Nicholas Galitzine, and a very star-studded voice cast, including Julia Louis-Dreyfus as the smartest of the sheep, Patrick Stewart, Bryan Cranston, and Regina Hall. There's a witty script by Craig Mazin. It's an adaptation of a very popular, from what I hear, German book entitled Three Bags Full. And director Kyle Balda previously helmed Despicable Me and Minions animated movies. But, he's as good with the humans as he is with these amazingly realistic animated sheep. I wasn't crazy about the recent Animal Farm animated movie based on the Orwell novel. As movies with animated farm animals go, this is head and shanks better than Animal Farm. The Sheep Detectives, it's a treat. It'll play well at home. It is in theaters right now. I wasn't as excited and as gratified by Mortal Kombat 2. This is yet another video game inspired movie. And, they don't usually hit the mark for me, but the TV shows like The Last of Us and Fallout and Arcade all based on video games. Love them. And I thought the Dungeons and Dragons movie was fun. But these Mortal Kombat movies are just battle after battle with like fuzzy world building and fuzzy rules and fuzzy goals. And this one is even fuzzier than the first Mortal Kombat movie. For all the CGI and fury, and this is a movie that leans on computer animation for its locations and some of the creatures, there is absolutely no emotional connection to be made. It's kind of chintzy, even really shallow and all surface. Carl Urban, who plays a old-time action star who is teleported into the dimension where the Mortal Kombat battles happen, he's pretty good. Ryuki Sanada, who was great in Shogun, he also plays a role in this thing. He's a revived Mortal Kombat veteran, if you will. You get Damon Harriman, the Aussie actor, doing his weasel thing. Josh Lawson and Meckett Brooks add laughs and muscle. And Adeline Rudolph, Jessica McNamee, and Taddy Gabrielle provide kind of girl boss energy. None of it is enough for me to recommend this. And that said, devoted Mortal Kombat gamers will probably go for it. It's in theaters. Let's see if there's anything else I want to keep mentioning, even in passing. I thought The Wizard of the Kremlin was kind of cool. It's the story of Vadim Baranov, who was Vladimir Putin's Karl Rove. And it tells his story in an episodic way when an American journalist, played by Jeffrey Wright, shows up at his Dhaka and he kind of is interviewing the guy, and you hear all about what went down in the early 1990s in Russia in the post-Soviet era, and how Baranov, who's kind of a reality TV producer, becomes this spin doctor to KGB heavy Vladimir Putin. And it's really kind of a fascinating story, but this is sort of episodic, and it doesn't really leave you with much emotional content. But you also get great performances by a couple of actors that I really like, Alicia Vikander and Paul Dano. Alicia Vikander plays Baranov's lover. Dano plays Baranov, and Jude Law, in a pretty good turn, plays Putin. And it's directed and co-written by Olivier Assayas, who's a great French director who's done some really memorable films. This is not amongst his best, but again, the story was so interesting to me. I didn't know much about how Putin ended up in the captain's chair, if you will, in Russia, and this kind of elucidated me, and I thought that it was pretty well made in that regard. Like, there's other stuff, like Robert Farrelly does a new comedy called Driver's Ed. It's a teen comedy about kids stealing a driver's ed car and trying to help one of them, kind of woo back his college freshman girlfriend. That was kind of okay. It's in theaters across the country. And I guess that's about it. What are you watching, buddy?
Well, what I could recommend is a very good documentary called I think it's called Life is Short. It's the documentary about Martin Short, where if you don't really like Martin Short or you never cared about him, watch this. You'll have a greater respect for him. And it is one of the – it was directed by Lawrence Kasdan, oddly enough. And it's a great little documentary, you know. So that's,
and you can see it on Netflix, right? If you have a Netflix,
I think, believe it's Netflix. Yeah, I get confused now. There's so many of them, but you know. So I guess that's it, huh? All right, let me see here. Push the button. Tell them where they can find you, Michael.
I am on Facebook at Michael Snyder's Culture Blast, where you can hear and revisit some of our discussions. I'm also available to click on to at Twitter or X at Culture Blaster, and here on GabNet.
All right, and there is more of That Said GabNet coming right up.